Happy Sabbath. We're thankful that you all were able to come and join us in our protest today. Some of you saw the church announcement. It was sort of something tongue-in-cheek that we're going to gather this morning to protest the devil. And of course, that's what the Protestants protest, the lies. And so I guess you could say this is something of a sanctified protest. But we're thankful that we can come together as God's children and to worship Him. I remember hearing about this burglar. He heard that the owners of this house were going to be out of town, and so one dark night he broke in, and he was making his way up the halls, and all of a sudden he heard, "Jesus is watching you." And he froze, his heart froze, and he didn't know what it was, and he didn't hear anything else, and he was sure the owners were not there. So he took a couple of more steps, and he heard it again. "Jesus is watching you." And then, in the silhouette from some moonlight coming in the window, he saw there was a parrot cage and realized this was their parrot. Scared him nearly to death. And he kind of said out loud, he said, "Who would name a parrot Jesus?" Parrot said, "My name is Moses." And he said, "If your name is Moses, well, then who in the world would name a parrot Moses?" He said, "The same people that named the Rottweiler Jesus." Well, I thought I'd give you a chance to smile because we do actually have a serious subject to talk about today. The title of the message is Watchmen. What of the night? Someone is always watching, but we usually think about God is watching. You know, the Bible says that we are watchmen. And you heard, of course, our memory verse. Four times in that passage in Mark chapter 13, where Jesus talks about his second coming, he says, "Watch, watch, watch, watch." And I've picked four different categories about ways that we are to be watchmen. Talk about the requirements of watchmen, the responsibility of watchmen, the reflection of watchmen, and the reward of watchmen. But all of us are called, to some extent, to be watchmen on the walls. Let's talk a little bit about the requirement of watchmen. Now, the sermon title, in case you didn't know, is based upon Isaiah 21, verse 11 and 12, where it says, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" Repeats it twice. "The morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire. Return, come back." A very interesting and prophetic passage. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, typically, they were up on the walls. They were guarding the city. They had a perspective. And then sometimes at various hours, they had ways, even in Bible times, before they had clocks to tell the time. They had water clocks that it would take so much time for water to drip out of a vessel into another one, and then they'd reset it, like the old hourglasses with the time. And so they would track the time through the night, and they would call out, you know, like the old English watchman, 6 o'clock, all is well, 10 o'clock, all is well, so forth. And every now and then, someone might call up to the watchman and say, you know, "Is all well? Watchman, what of the night? What's the word? Is everything safe and sound?" And watchmen are supposed to be giving regular messages to let people know where we are and when we are, the time in which we're living. Now, if you look at the requirements of watchmen, for one thing, watchmen must be awake. And several Bible prophets talk about watchmen who are not awake. Isaiah 56, verse 10, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber." And he goes on, he says, "Greedy for gain." Now, principally here in these passages, when it talks about the watchmen, Jesus said the religious leaders are supposed to be leading the blind, but instead they are the blind leading the blind. And here also the prophets were prophesying falsehood, and they're sleeping. At times when you're living in crisis, you know, few things could be more dangerous than to have your watchman go to sleep. And I know that's tough. I used to be a security guard. I was paid. I know it's scary, isn't it? I was paid to watch. I worked for a company. I was only 16 years old, but I had a license that said I was 18. So I got this job with a company called Business Intelligence. Just think about that. I was hired by a company called Business Intelligence. And my job was to watch a construction site, a few different construction sites. And at different hours, they'd have me go to different places, and I had a big clock. I don't know if any of you remember this. I had a big old round clock, and there were keys that were anchored very securely at different places on the construction site. Sometimes it might be a tall building, and I'd have to go up to the 10th floor, and I'd put this key in, and I'd turn the key, and it would register on a piece of paper in the clock that I was at that location at that time, so they'd know I was doing my rounds. And so watchmen were to stay awake. But sometimes between the hours when I wasn't walking around, you know, you'd walk around, you'd be done in 10 minutes, then you'd go sit down. I would get so tired because I also had a day job rust-proofing steel toes that go in steel-toed boots. And so I was working during the day, I was working at night, and I'd be so tired. Have any of you ever been just so tired that you're fighting to stay awake? I see it all the time in church when I'm preaching. Some of you might be struggling right now. We'll pray for you. But how many of you? Hey, come on. Have you been at times where you don't want to go to sleep? Sometimes somebody is talking. You're trying to pay attention. You're trying to be polite, and you're just fighting it. I've seen some Zoom meetings during the pandemic. You know, the general conference, I'm on the GC Executive Committee, and they get people from all over the world, and there's a set time they got to get on. And I know some of them, it's 2 a.m. for them. And they got up, and they put on their white shirt, and they turned on their camera, and the meeting began, and someone began going through a report, and you see them. And their heads are bobbing, and they're fighting. They're trying. It's like Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but sometimes the flesh is weak. And sometimes we're sleeping when we're supposed to be awake. I was telling the group up in Folsom last week about this pastor that had a member come to him, and he said, Pastor, I'm just having problems. I just cannot sleep at night. He says, I'm up all night. He says, I'm so anxious. I'm so worried. And he talked to him a little bit, and the pastor found out that he was watching 3 hours of news before he went to sleep. And he said, well, the news is so bad these days that that would make you a little anxious. He says, don't be watching the news. He said, all right, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. So he checked back with him a few weeks later, said, how's it going? He said, I'm sleeping like a baby. He says, I just turn on your sermons and I go right to sleep. I tell that story because you can ask Karen, it's true. How many people come up to me that I meet and they say, oh, Pastor Doug, we love your sermons. I listen to them every night when I go to sleep. And I kind of think it's a compliment, but I'm not altogether sure. Sometimes it's hard to stay awake at crucial times. You notice how many times in the Bible it tells us just before the second coming, it seems like God's people are having problems staying awake. In the parable of the 10 virgins, you've got 5 wise, 5 foolish, 50% are wise, 50% are foolish, and 100% go to sleep. Have you ever noticed that? 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Why are we watching? Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. If there's anything that watchmen should be talking about now is the times in which we're living. You know, there were times when watchmen knew that there were other nations that were rattling their swords and threatening war, and you needed to especially be on your guard during these times of heightened threat. Well, friends, this is not the time for watchmen to go to sleep. We need to be awake. Jesus said you can look at the weather and tell the signs of the times. You can look at the weather and tell what's, say that again. You can look at the sky and tell the weather. You should be able to look at the signs of the times and see where we are in the prophetic scheme of history. I mean, look at what's going on in the world now. And this is no time for us to be sleeping. It's no time for us to be dumb dogs that don't bark. We need to be barking dogs that aren't dumb. Amen. You know, I heard that some thieves are becoming very clever when they have a high target home that they want to rob, but they've got watchdogs. They'll get some dog biscuits and they'll dip them in this very powerful opiate. It's a man-made opiate called fentanyl. And they toss it out, and the dogs eat these things, and it puts them to sleep. And then they can freely rob the house of all its jewelry. They just got to get the watchdogs to sleep. And we need to pray that God will keep us awake. Now, something else about watchmen is they need to be positioned where they can see and hear. You don't take a watchman and dig a hole and put him in a tunnel. You take a watchman and you put him on a hill, you put him on top of the wall, you put him at a corner of the wall. You want to make sure you get a watchman that has good ears and good eyes so that they can see. An approaching army usually was detected by some dust on the horizon, or they'd see fires in the distance at night. They needed good ears, because the way that the watchmen would communicate with the other cities is from their wall. There was usually another watchtower where a watchman could hear the horn, and they would signal each other with different trumpet sounds, and the distinction in those sounds told them, there's an approaching army, all alert, get ready, or come to the city for protection. And they had a whole system of signals, and they knew what those signals meant. You know, up until radios, all of the American forces used trumpets. I mean, even the Civil War. I remember going to military school, and every morning we heard, that's called reveille. That means get up. At the end of the day, we heard, you all recognize taps. Well, they had, you probably remember when, you know, the people in the fort were being overwhelmed, and all of a sudden you would hear the cavalry coming to the rescue. That meant charge. And so they had all these different signals. They would talk to each other. So you had to be able to hear what the signals were from the other trumpeters. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will they know to prepare for the battle? Well, friends, I tell you, the watchmen need to be giving a certain sound on the trumpet right now, because there are different truths that have more relevance at different times. The present truth for now is to lift up your heads, because the Lord is drawing near. And God's people need to be aware for that. Now, the word watch in Greek, it simply means to keep awake, to be vigilant, to be watchful, vigilant, like when Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your devil is going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Watching, dictionary definition would be, to look at steadfastly, to be attentive, to observe carefully, to be expectant or in anticipation. So one way we watch is through expectation, anticipation of Jesus' coming. It's the act or process of keeping awake or mentally alert, especially for the purpose of guarding. To stay awake at night while serving as a sentinel or a watcher. To tend like a flock, for example. To stay alert as a devotional or a religious exercise. And then, of course, we need to be watching the signs. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and they are punished. It says, when a watchman saw that approaching army, he would warn people so they might be saved. Now, we've talked a little bit about the requirements of watchmen. Let's talk something about the responsibility of watchmen. This is heavy, but it's biblical. Hebrews 13, verse 7, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. What is Paul talking about there? There are people who are stationed as watchmen, and they know that everybody else is hanging their life on that person being awake. During a battle, when soldiers need to sleep, it was very important that the soldiers that were on watch, the sentinels, that they were awake, because if they went to sleep and they could not warn of an approaching enemy, all the other soldiers' lives were in the hands of the watchman. And it is a terrifying thought for me, and I'm sure the other pastors and elders in our church, that to some extent we have a responsibility to be faithful by example and also by word to make sure that people are not overtaken by the enemy. And if we fail in our responsibility, it says we must give an account not only for our souls, but for your souls. Jesus talks about hirelings that are shepherds that really don't care about the sheep, and as soon as they see a threat or a wolf, they run, instead of putting their lives on the line for the sheep. You know, Frederick Fleet. Do you know the name Frederick Fleet? Frederick Fleet was the watchman who was in the crow's nest of the Titanic when it struck the iceberg. Now, he didn't do anything wrong. As soon as he saw the iceberg, he called out, "Iceberg dead ahead." But he felt bad because it was a moonlit night, but it was very calm, and he knew that if he had had binoculars, he would have seen the iceberg a few minutes or a few moments earlier, and all they needed was a few moments. He testified. The poor guy was interrogated 50 times because he was the first one to see the iceberg, and he kept telling the same story. Said, "We asked for binoculars, but they wouldn't give us the binoculars. Someone had the key, and they were in the cabinet. We couldn't get the key." And he always felt bad. He survived because after he came down, they assigned him to one of the lifeboats as a seaman. And he survived, but it always haunted him that he was the one on watch. And 70 years of age, he took his own life. Couldn't handle it anymore because he thought, all those souls, if I had only done this, if I'd only done that, if I'd only fought to get the binoculars, if I had been paying closer attention, who knows? But those 1,500 souls that were lost, he just never could get over that. He felt the responsibility. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Let me read this to you. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he doesn't turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he will die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul." Now, I just read to you from Ezekiel chapter 3. Now I want to go, and I'm going to read from Ezekiel chapter 33. You notice it's a theme through the book. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying," this is verse 1, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, 'When I bring the sword on the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and they make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming," another army, "upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet, if they don't take warning, the sword comes and takes him away. His blood is on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked man, 'O wicked man, you will surely die.'" Now, what is the warning the watchmen are to give? Not just Ezekiel, not just pastors, not just elders, but every believer. If you know the danger is coming, and you do not care for the souls of those who are in the way of destruction, it would mean you either don't believe it or you don't care about your brother and sister. All of us have an element of responsibility to share the truth. Please say amen if you thought that was true. Amen. He says, this is the message you shall give them. "When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' penalty for sin is death, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we live?'" If we were just rotting in sin. "Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.'" He doesn't want the lost to be lost. "But that the wicked man turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" This is the appeal of God to every human being. He's saying, turn from sin, turn to Jesus. He doesn't want us to die. Whoever turns and believes will be forgiven. Now, this is a heavy verse, and I know some people read this verse, and they think, "Oh, Pastor Doug, are you telling me that everybody that I see, I'm supposed to grab them by their collar and say, 'Do you know you're going to be lost if you don't repent? Am I responsible for their souls? I'm sitting next to them on the bus. I see them in the counter or standing in line at the market, even though they're still 6 feet away. Am I responsible for their souls?'" No, God is not saying that. You know, you drive yourself crazy thinking like that. But the Lord brings us in contact with people that you will have an opportunity to dialogue with. He wants us to care for their souls. And friends, keep in mind, if we're in trouble for all the people, if we're going to be lost because of all the times we've neglected to tell other people we're all doomed, the disciples went to sleep when Jesus said, pray with me. They did not watch and pray with him when they should have been watching and praying. He forgave them. He'll forgive us. But he's telling us it's serious business because people's souls are at stake. You know, my dad used to take us out water skiing. He had a boat. We had a house right on the bay there in Miami Beach, Biscayne Bay. It's salt water where the ocean comes into the bay there. And it was sometimes calm in the morning before school. He'd take us out water skiing. And this is back in the days when he didn't have a rearview mirror. So he'd have my brother sit as a spotter. My dad would drive. He's watching ahead of the boat because he's got to watch for coconuts. We're always floating around in the bay. You got to watch for palms and coconuts and other boats and things. And he'd tell my brother, he'd say, you watch Dougie. And if he falls, let me know. And I was out skiing one day, and I did something wrong, and I took a pretty hard spill, and I came up, and the boat just kept on going. My brother was preoccupied, or he saw me, and he just didn't really care. And I'm out there, and there are other boats that go by, and you're pretty small out there in the middle of the bay, and you can get run over. And we used to fish off the back of our house. We would catch sharks and stingrays, and there's all kinds of critters in the water there. And you're out there in the middle of the bay, and they've just released a movie called Jaws. And all kinds of horrific thoughts came into my mind, and I kept thinking, I'm going to get run over, and I'm waving my arm, and that when it didn't work, I took my ski. I was slaloming, so I took my one ski. I'm waving my ski. My brother had just spaced out, and all of a sudden my father turns around, and he goes, where's Dougie? Oh, he must have fallen. He wasn't watching. You know, what did Cain say to God? Am I my brother's keeper? Are we to watch for each other? You know, pastors sometimes struggle, especially if you get in a larger church. People come to church and the new members, and because it's a bigger church, they may miss a week or two, and we don't know. You know, we can't do a mental scan of everybody. Of course, we're trying to come up with some ways, creative, computerized ways to track everybody coming. And that could scare people too, but we need you to say, Pastor, did you know that so-and-so is in the hospital? We had no idea. We're not psychic. Some prophets know those things, but not all. Pastors know, because divine revelation, we need people to help us watch and tell us, are they doing okay? Is something going on in their lives? We had no idea their marriage was in a crisis right now. We had no idea that one of them was facing a terminal illness. And so pastors need the under-shepherds and others to help us watch. And it's so important to have a healthy church that we're watching for each other's souls. It is a responsibility. Let me read a quote to you from the book Acts of the Apostles, page 361. The words of the prophet Ezekiel declare the solemn responsibility of those who are appointed as guardians of the church of God, stewards of the mysteries of God. They're to stand as watchmen on the walls of Zion to sound a note of alarm at the approach of the enemy. Souls are in danger of falling under temptation, and they will perish unless God's ministers are faithful to their trust. If for any reason their spiritual senses become so benumbed that they're unable to discern danger, they're sleeping dogs that have been anesthetized. And through their failure, they don't give warning and people perish, God will require at their hands the blood of those who are lost. That's heavy. It is a privilege of the watchman on the walls, not only a responsibility, it is a privilege to live so near to God and to be susceptible to the impressions of his spirit that he can work through them to tell men and women of their spirit, of their peril. Faithfully, they are to warn them of the sure result of transgression, and faithfully, they are to safeguard the interests of the church. At no time may they relax their vigilance. Chosen of God, sealed with the blood of consecration, they are to rescue men and women from impending destruction. You're never off duty. There's always this danger. And God wants us to watch for their souls. You know, one of the most important elements in a victory in a battle is the element of surprise. And if watchmen are watching, then it's the wolf cannot surprise the flock. We need to be listening. If you look in Isaiah 58, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. We not only need to be watching, we need to be blowing the trumpet, we need to be listening to the voice of the Spirit, knowing that we're sharing what present truth is with people. I remember hearing years ago about this young man. He was applying for a job in a telegraph office where they used Morse code. And when he entered the room, he thought, oh man, it was full of applicants. He thought, I'm never going to get the job. So he sat against the wall. There were all these benches, and all these young men were applying for this job to work in the telegraph office. It was a time of a recession, and jobs were very precious. And they're all sitting there waiting to be called in, and they can hear all the telegraph operators going in the background, you know, the And all of a sudden, this young man, who came in last, he jumped up. He went right through the receptionist door, went into the back office, and he came out smiling pretty soon. They said, what were you doing? He said, I just got the job. How come you got the job? You came in last. He said, well, if you guys weren't talking to each other and you were listening, on Morse code, the owner was giving a message. It says, whoever is paying attention enough to be the first one in my office when you hear this message gets the job. They were there, but they weren't really listening. And we need to be listening. Jesus said, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. You know, one of the dangers of our age is that we've got watchmen that are not telling what of the night. They're not saying, where are we now in time? Where are we in the darkness? And the message that came back is the morning comes and also the night. Yeah, there's going to be times of light and revival, and there's going to be times of darkness, gross darkness, Isaiah tells in another place, cover the people. You know, I think it was Fox News did a survey, and they asked pastors, are you ever intimidated to preach what you believe? And I think over 65% said yes. They're afraid if they preach what their convictions are, they're going to lose their job. They're afraid of ridicule. They're afraid some members will leave if they preach what the Bible actually says. And I think that if the truth be told, the percentage is even higher than that. There's so many pastors and Christians that are afraid to really stand up. There's a big silent majority out there that believe the truth, but they're not saying anything because we're living in a culture now where you are ridiculed. If you should dare to say, I think that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Well, you know, right now, you got to look around when you say something like that because you think, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my credentials? Or is the country going to arrest me? There's some countries you can't preach the Bible. But you cannot be intimidated if you're going to be a child of God. Now, you don't want to be unnecessarily obnoxious, but at the same time, you can't hide the truth. I remember seeing an interview where Oprah Winfrey was talking to Joel Osteen, and she is saying, are you telling me that all of these homosexual people out there that really love each other, that they're sinning, that homosexuality is a sin? And here he is on TV when she threw that question at him, and he, poor guy, he danced all around that subject, but he would never come right out and say, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Because he understood the pressure of that whole world. And it's largely Hollywood that is now setting the values of our people. So you wonder what's going to happen. Unfortunately, as the culture changes, the values in the church change because the church members live in the culture. And they're being influenced by these forces that we see. We need to be guided by the Word of God. We have a responsibility. You know, I read in 2009, some investigators found that air traffic controllers were distracted on the phone, and it contributed to a deadly collision over the Hudson River between a helicopter and a small plane. Now, when you're flying in an airplane, those of you who fly, you're assuming that the air traffic controllers are doing, usually is a very difficult, but they're very careful, a very responsible job. But yes, there are some that they're actually texting. They're supposed to have their phones off when they're on the job. Some were even taking selfies. Some were looking at explicit material and showing it to their friends. And planes are zigging everywhere through the air, and they're supposed to be watching them because their lives depend on their watching. It's kind of an unnerving thought, huh? We have a responsibility. Then I want to talk a little about the reflection of watchmen. We're also watching for our own souls. Not only watching for the souls of others, but how can you watch for the souls of others if you're not watching for your own soul? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? You know, we need to know what our condition is before God. Are we walking in Christ? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Pursue what? And holiness. Notice what he says. Without which no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see God. It's a holy God. We must be made holy by Christ. Looking carefully. Isn't that like watching? Looking carefully, lest anyone falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up. He's talking about looking in your heart. Cause trouble. And by many, this they become defiled. Psalms 141, verse 3. Got to watch what we say. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Lord, give me the spirit and stop me before I say anything I shouldn't say. The devil has placed a Trojan horse. You all know the story of the Trojan horse. Yeah, the city of Troy was overcome by the Greeks because they created this great horse, looked like this big wooden horse, and five soldiers hid inside, and they brought it in the city as an offering to their god in Troy. And during the night, Odysseus and some of the other soldiers were hiding in this statue of a horse. They came out of the belly, they opened the gates and let the Greek army in, and the city fell. And through infiltration like that, the whole city fell. And some of us have sins in our lives that are providing a Trojan horse for the devil to bring in other problems. We're giving him a deed and access to our lives through something we think, well, the Lord will overlook that, or he'll overlook this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out it springs the issues of light. Watching our heart. And that means watching our minds. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body and I bring it in subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. You know, I've been noticing during this pandemic that one of the side effects is that I've been swelling a little bit. You could say things are swell. There's been an inner tube inflating around the middle. I still have my original clothes on, but it troubles me because the gyms are all closed where I usually get my exercise. And I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to be able to preach the health message to others? Keep my body in subjection, lest I try to preach to others I should be a castaway. I heard about some burglars that broke into a New York business, and the business manufactured burglar-proof glass. And the owner said, I never dreamed we should put it in the windows of our own business. Preaching to others, but not practicing themselves. Matthew 26, verse 40, and Jesus came to the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So part of this watching is, it's the internal. And how do we do that? We watch and pray. You know, I think about the story of Nehemiah. While they were trying to build the walls of Jerusalem, he met with all kinds of opposition. The Arabians and the Ammonites and Sanballat, and they all conspired, all the neighbors conspired against them to stop the progress of building up the walls, because building up the walls of Jerusalem was going to threaten them and their religion. And you know, if you are building up a citadel in the devil's territory, he is going to try to stop it. And you know, that's really what our church is. We are trying to build up basically an embassy to Christ in enemy territory. And the devil is going to want to stop it. Nehemiah ran into all kinds of problems, but they weren't going to stop building. It says, now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being closed, they became very angry. The devil's come down with great wrath. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem to create confusion. How does the devil try to stop the progress? Create confusion. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. Nevertheless, how did they deal with it? We made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. What did they do? He watched and prayed. We're going to keep building. Notice verse chapter 4, verse 16. So it was from that time on, half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held spears and shields and bows and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And here they are, they're doing this work. It's hot out. Kind of, you can relate, right? They got their armor on. They're trying to carry bricks and they're carrying weapons at the same time. But they were going to build the walls. And those who built the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves. So with one hand, they're working at construction. With the other hand, they're holding a weapon. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Yeah, I just see them. They're troweling with their swords. And one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Talk about working in a spirit of expectation and vigilance. There's the word I'm looking for. Vigilance. They didn't. Vigilance can mean you just stop and you watch. Problem with a lot of churches, we don't have watchmen. We got spectators. God doesn't want us to just be spectators. And let's face it, a lot of Christians come to church and they spectate once a week and then they go home. He wants us to be engaged. So while they're watching, they're building. They're involved in the process. And then Nehemiah says in chapter 4, verse 20, he told them, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, these watchmen were ready to blow the trumpet with a certain sound. Rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. That's a long hour. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except we took them off for washing. You know, we need to be, the Bible says, we need to gird on our armor. We need to be ready. We need to stand fast. They took them off for occasional washing. We need that sanctification, that cleansing, but they did not give up their watching. Can you say amen? And then, of course, there's the rewards. This is my last point. It's the longest one. No, I just said that to try you. The reward of watchmen. It is good news. Peter says, 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. You watch with open eyes. Here's some encouraging words. This is from 6 Testimonies 4:04. The great crisis is just before us. Friends, do you believe that? The great crisis is just before us. To meet its trials and temptations, to perform its duties will require persevering faith. But we may triumph gloriously. Not one watching, praying, believing soul will be ensnared by the enemy. Isn't that encouraging? James 5:19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, because we're watching, let him know that he that turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Wouldn't you be rejoicing in heaven when the Lord comes and you see people that you know because you are watching? Someone is there for eternity. They're going to enjoy eternal life, eternal bliss because you and I were watching. That's the rewards. We need to watch over our children. Watch over our loved ones. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We've got the wonderful job of seeing people restored. Acts 20, verse 35, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that we must support the weak. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 45, so who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his master has made ruler over his household, to give them their food in due season, sharing the word. Blessed is that servant, whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all of his goods. Now, I know that there's a certain amount of maybe conviction, and it should be, as we talk about the responsibilities of being watchmen. We think about, well, but we've failed. Lord, is there still hope? Of course there is. Jesus loves us. I read this week an interesting story from history that Napoleon, when he was going across Europe and conquering various cities, that he was walking. They'd taken this fortress, this city, and he was walking the walls one night to check his sentinels. Late at night, Napoleon was a workaholic, they say. And one of the young men, overcome with sleep, had fallen asleep, leaning against. He was all slumped up, exhausted. I mean, you know, he fought them in battles during the day, and then they got standing watch at night. And he understood, you know, the penalty if they went to sleep watching? Death. And Napoleon saw the poor young fellow there, and he took his musket from his hand, and he walked his section for an hour, let him rest. This is the emperor, the general. And then he gave him a nudge with his foot. He said, okay, I've got a war to fight. You need to get up. And the young man shook himself awake, and he saw there was Napoleon saving him from death, doing his job for him rather than turning him in so he could sleep for an hour. Now, if a general would love that much, then what about Jesus? Is he going to watch over us and care for us? You know, the Bible tells us the Lord is not wanting to destroy us. Some of us have gone to sleep on the job. The apostles did on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it says, we are committing our souls unto him, 1 Peter 2:25, who is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Jesus is going to watch over us. We don't need to be afraid. But he wants us to be faithful, standing watch. And our lives and the lives of others depend upon that. Years ago when I was 16, I was on this boat that sailed around the Mediterranean. I remember when we were going through the coast of Italy, we stopped at Mount Vesuvius, and they took us to the ruins of Pompeii. And it is a very sobering scene because you see this Mount Vesuvius volcano blew up and it buried the cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum under ashes. For hundreds, over a thousand years, it was unknown. Finally, they rediscovered it and they found the city as it had been that day of judgment, still intact. And they were able to find the different bodies and where the people were and what was going on, and the bread in the ovens and meat. It was just like frozen in time. And many people fled and they were overtaken. Many were at the harbor trying to escape. Some went down to basements trying to escape the burning cloud and the ashes. And they found by the gate of the city, there was a Roman guard that was standing by the entrance of the gate, holding his spear. He could have fled, but he would not leave his post. And you think, wow. You know, they were told, your life depends on your not leaving your post until you're told. And when everybody was panicking and running, they stood their ground as a faithful sentinel, as a watchman. I want to be found faithful when Jesus comes. Don't you, friends? Let's be listening. Let's be watching and praying. Let's give the trumpet a certain sound, knowing that our salvation and that of others depends on our being faithful, knowing the time in which we live. Watchmen, what of the hour? Is it the time for us to wake up and be faithful watchmen? Amen.